Paul writes to Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Christians has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. At the end of this great apostle's life, he says, only Luke is with him. If we remember correctly, and I pray that you do, this church, I know I was not here, but I know that you did a verse-by-verse study through the book of Acts. And you heard all those we's. Where Luke was writing of the Apostle Paul, and he says, we. Luke was the constant companion of the Apostle Paul. Luke is still with him. The Apostle Paul tells us that Demas has deserted him. Men that the Apostle Paul has poured his life into, that he has worked shoulder to shoulder, elbow to elbow with these men. And they see that Paul's fate is certain. His death is looming on the horizon. And they think that that's the opportune time to desert the Apostle Paul. In other words, let me say it this way. Ministry is hard. It's hard. The people that you think that never would desert you, no matter what, they'll desert you. And not no matter what. They'll desert you for this reason. They love the present world. Anyone who loves this world, John speaks to it, and he tells us that the love of the Father is not in them. What Paul is saying, Demas was not a Christian. But he did ministry. Perhaps Demas even preached. Perhaps he even witnessed miracles. So did Judas. No difference. No. He departed. He deserted the Apostle Paul. He left him this way, high and dry. Oh, we're familiar with the saying, to leave someone high and dry. To leave someone that trusts us in need. That's what's been done to the Apostle Paul. These others, they have been sent to different places because the work of ministry goes on. Ministry is not about a man. Not even the Apostle Paul. Ministry is about the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the kingdom. It is the word that is to be preached. It is to be preached in season and out of season. When you're at the end of your life and when you're at the beginning of your spiritual life, it is to be preached. That is what's important. See, why is it important to send these people to these places? Not Demas. I'm sure that Demas went to his place, just as Judas did. But there's a ministry for everyone in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christian has gone to hear me anyway? You can turn me off. It's on. In and out. What you want it? Try it now. Okay, we'll try that. The Apostle Paul says that Christians have gone to Galatia for ministry. Titus to Dalmatia. These are actual places with actual people. They need the Lord Jesus Christ. It's important that these people go to these places for the work of ministry. Because Jesus assigned this work. He assigned this work to the church. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Preach the word. In season and out of season. You know, interesting fact, a side note that I learned this week that was interesting to me, may mean nothing to you. I'm fond of dogs, and some of you know that. I'm really fond of big dogs and spotted dogs. And my Quinn is a spotted Great Dane. And she is quite often, when people see her, confused with another breed of dog. And people look and they go, is that a, do you know what breed it is? Dalmatian. Titus to Dalmatia. Do you know what came from Dalmatia? Dalmatians. That's where they came from, people. Evidence that these people existed, that their culture existed, is a breed of dog that still exists today, that is around this very day. No, it was important that people go here. It was important that the ministry be put forward. What was also important is the people that the Apostle Paul loved. The people that the Apostle Paul asked for. Who will you ask for at the end of your life? Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. How many of you know that the Apostle Paul and someone else fell out over Luke? Do you remember? Over Mark. Do you remember? Who was it? Barnabas. The Apostle Paul would not have it. No, you're not taking Mark. He's not going. Absolutely not. Here it is. At the end. When the time of his departure is certain, he says, pick up Mark. Bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Do you think that they have reconciled? Doesn't tell us of the reconciliation, but we know that it took place. We know that it happened. He sent for Mark. Then he goes on in verse 12, but Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Where's Timothy? Where's Timothy at? Ephesus. Timothy's in Ephesus. The Apostle Paul says, but Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Listen what I want you to hear. How did the letter get to Timothy? Tychicus. Tychicus brought the letter. This letter to Timothy is also to the church. If this letter is to the church, what the Apostle Paul is doing is he is relieving Timothy from his pastoral duties at Ephesus, replacing him with Tychicus and asking him to come to him. Some instructions along the way. When you come, bring the cloak, which I left at Troas with Carpus, and the books, especially the parchments. Where's Paul? He's in Rome. He's in prison. What does he ask for? A cloak. A coat. A blanket. That's what this thing is. A coat and a blanket. A sleeping bag. Why would you need a coat? Because it's cold. It's cold. He's at Rome. He tells us of Roman Christians that are there with him. We know from Romans there is a church. Where is it at? In Rome. You mean to tell me they couldn't get Paul a coat? He had to send from far away for a coat. How bad do we have it? If you came to the end of your life, would you have to write someone to bring you a coat from far away that you left a long time ago? Or do you think that someone would bring you a blanket and cover you up? How bad do we have it? Paul. This is Paul. This is the end of Paul. The time of his departure. Oh, it's not right this very second. It's coming. It's coming quickly. What does he want? A coat. Blanket, books, especially the parchments. How much does your Bible mean to you? Maybe it doesn't mean enough. But listen to me. If you are in Christ Jesus, it's going to mean more to you in the coming days. You'll get to the point where it will be the most important thing in your life. When you get to the point where, okay, my time is up, the time of my departure is at hand, and I'm about to meet the Lord, you're going to be interested in what the Lord has to say. You will study the Word of God then like you never have before. Do I speak from experience? No, I speak from Paul's experience. Paul requested the books and the parchments. The Word of God was the most important thing to the Apostle Paul. It will be of you at the end of your life if you are in Christ Jesus. The enemies. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. When you preach the truth, people don't like it because it'll cost them something. Now, this man, obviously, it tells us, he is a coppersmith. Probably, more than likely, he's involved in the making of idols. That would be a pretty safe bet. He's a coppersmith. The Apostle Paul preaching the truth of the gospel would affect his pocketbook. And we know that that's always the cause to rise up and to revolt against the truth of God. We've seen it over and over in the words of Scripture. This one's no different. This Alexander is an enemy of the cross of Christ, as Brother Rodney read to us this morning. That's what Paul is saying. He's telling Timothy to be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. We preach the same thing, Timothy, you and I. We have the same gospel. Do we have the same gospel? Church, do you have the same gospel that's preached? Then I can say we, our. And if you do not, then you should not say we and our. But I warn you, the gospel that we preach is the only gospel that saves. You can come up with a new one. There's no salvation in it. Why do people hate the truth of the Word of God? Because there's one God, and you are not Him. He rules, He reigns. He has determined what will take place and when it will take place, how that's going to look and how that's going to act. This Alexander did not like the message. The Apostle Paul tells us in verse 14 there at the latter half, back up, the Lord will repay him according to his deeds. He will repay everyone according to their deeds. Every single one. It's not in Christ Jesus. This is the gospel. That's what Paul's stating here. The gospel. Again, back to it. He tells Timothy, verse 15 again, to be on guard, because he vigorously opposed our teaching. Verse 16. At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. Now hold on. When he speaks of Alexander, look what he says. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. At my first offense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. What's the difference there? Paul thinks that these people that did not support him in verse 16 are Christians. We never pray for anything to be counted against a Christian. Our sins have been forgiven. Wiped clean. Separated from us as far as the east is from the west. This Alexander is not a Christian. And the Apostle Paul made no bones about it. He didn't hem and haw around. He wasn't afraid to say, this man is not in Christ Jesus. While he didn't condemn these people who did not support him, who deserted him at his first defense, he did not commend them either. Let me say it this way. How did these people hear the gospel? Paul. How is a person saved? How are you saved? You were minding your own business and you just got zapped and that was it. Boom, I'm saved. Were you saved apart from the Word of God? If you were saved apart from the Word of God, I'm interested in your testimony, because God says it doesn't happen that way. How are they saved? They hear the gospel. How do they hear the gospel? Someone preaches. How do they hear someone that preaches? They are sent. Preach the word. In season and out of season. These people had heard the Apostle Paul preach the gospel and had come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what they saw was fitting to do was desert him. What will you do if the time comes, if the preachers of the gospel are all arrested? Could happen. I think we're closer than we want to say that we are. Would you desert? Would you desert those who preach the word to you? Who represent the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you turn your back? Would you depart? If you would, understand the attitude of the preacher. I pray that it not be counted against you. Because see, I think you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And your sins have been forgiven. Would it sadden me? Oh yeah. Sadden you, brother? Would it sadden the Apostle Paul? I think so. Listen to what he says. At my first defense, no one supported me. No one supported me. Maybe you don't know who it is that you're dealing with. Maybe you don't know who it is that's saying this. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. But the Lord stood with me. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. So that my work would be done complete. The last thing. Check it out. Don't believe me? Listen to it again. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully. That next word there? That means done. Accomplished. It's done. And all the Gentiles might hear. Are you hearing? Did you hear the gospel? How? How did you hear the gospel? Where did it come from? How did you obtain those nicely printed scriptures that lay on your lap, Christian? You want me to tell you? Men like this had their head chopped off to get you that. So that the work might be fully accomplished. And that all the Gentiles, that's you, that's me, might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. They didn't kill me then. They didn't kill me then. Because if they would have killed me then I wouldn't have written how many books? The prison epistles. You're being preached out of one of the books that if they had killed him then, instead of he was rescued out of the lion's mouth, you would not have. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. If I could just open up your head and put anything in it that you would lock down on, it would be this. This is what I would choose to put in there. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom, no matter what. Your fate is guaranteed. Your fate is guaranteed. Your destination is guaranteed. Your Savior is guaranteed. Your heavenly home is guaranteed. God holds you in His hand. He will never let you go. He will bring you safely into His presence. Where He is, you will be also. To live like that, you can look in the face of anything and overcome it. Paul is at the end of his life. Listen to what he says. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. No matter what Rome does to me. No matter what the Caesar does to me, I'm going home. I will not take back. I will not draw back. I will not be quiet. I will not be silenced. I will not shut up. I will not go out quietly. I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach the Word. And I'm going to do it in season and out of season because Jesus is strong enough to take me home to be with Him whenever He wants to. And I'm sure that He can do it. He deserves all the glory. Verse 19. Greet Prisca and Aquila. I love that. I love that name there, Prisca. Do you know who Prisca is? You've seen her full name in other portions of Scripture, right? She is so dear to the Apostle Paul that she has a nickname. Do you know what I do to people that are closest to me? To people that I just really take a shine to. I always and forever give them a nickname. Right, Shortcake? Greet Prisca and Aquila. And the household of Onesiphorus. Spoken many times in Scripture. Both of these groups of people. This whole household. Look, brothers and sisters, and the household of Onesiphorus. This man is so godly. He's so much a friend of the Apostle Paul and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that it has affected his entire household. Oh, I pray for men that the whole household would be known for friendship with the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel of His grace. Like this man. Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Hold on to that one. Make every effort to come to me before winter. Why? Because it's going to get cold. Not just that it's going to get cold. If you don't come, I'm not going to see you. Because the time of my departure is at hand. See, if you wait till the weather gets too bad and you can't travel because the weather gets too bad, by the time the weather gets good enough for you to travel, it'll be too late. Eubulus greets you. Also Pudens and Linus and Claudia. Roman names. And all the brethren. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Everybody says hey. Everybody says hey. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. At your first reading of this, you may not catch it. It's my job to make sure that you catch it, and you catch it hard. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. See that last word there in this epistle? You. That word is not for a singular person, but plural. It is for persons. It is for the church. Grace be with you. This is a letter that was read to the church, or otherwise that would not be. The entire church knew what the Apostle Paul had to say to Timothy. That's proof that it was read to the church. Now, there's an issue that we need to deal with. We're going to deal with it. And we're going to deal with it clearly, as clear as we can. Look there, verse 20. Erastus remained at Corinth, second part of that. But Trophimus I left sick at Miletus. Now, I've got some questions for you. Who is writing this? Who is it that's writing this letter? Is this the man who raised dead people? Is that who it is? Didn't he raise someone that died? Didn't he raise them back to life? Is that not true or what? It's true, right? Come on, brothers and sisters. You know your Bible. You know he did it, right? This is somebody that needs a coat. Come on, he needs a coat. Now, if the Apostle Paul needs a coat because it's fixing to get cold, don't you think that he could just speak it and have a coat? I mean, couldn't he pray for a coat and somebody bring him a coat? Like, I mean, can you raise somebody from the dead? Can you do it? I can. Brother Rodney? The same Apostle Paul who raised somebody from the dead said, Trophimus, I left sick at Miletus. He was sick, and I left him there. You mean, Paul, that you did not heal him? So much for the prosperity gospel. In other words, what I'm trying to preach to you, brothers and sisters, if the Apostle Paul could have healed Trophimus, shouldn't he have healed Trophimus? Wouldn't that be wrong if he could heal him and didn't heal him? I mean, if Timothy's stomach was messed up, why would he tell him to take a little wine? He could just say, I heal you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be healed. I need a coat? Coat. Come to me. Isn't that what you hear on TV? Do you see that here? Or do you see that the gifts have ceased? Even in the writing of the scriptures, you don't have to go to now. You can go to then. Paul left Trophimus sick at Miletus. That means that he no longer had the healing gift. That was a sign given to prove his apostleship, to prove that he spoke for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's done, and if it wasn't done, he wouldn't have left Trophimus sick at Miletus. Do you believe that the gifts of the apostles continue today? Why didn't Paul have it? He had it. Why didn't he have it? At the end of his life, at the very end of his life, would he not have healed this man? You know, he knew where he was going. This didn't take him by surprise. It was told to him that he would go in chains. It was told to him that it would cost him his life. He said he did not care if it cost him his life. What was important to him is the Lord Jesus Christ and the preaching of the gospel. Don't you know that if that is the most important thing, and it was, that he would have healed this man on his way if this man was sick? Don't you let anyone tell you that those gifts exist today. If they exist today, let's take these people to the children's hospital and let's heal everybody. And if they cannot do that, you do not listen to them. Period. End of discussion. They ceased with the Apostle Paul. They have ceased today. Paul. At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was rescued out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Do you live like that? Don't you know that you're going to stand before the Lord? You're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account. The Apostle Paul accomplished his ministry that was given to him by Jesus. Can you say the same thing? He said, I did it. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. The race is done. I have done it. I have kept the faith. I have done it. Everything that the Lord Jesus Christ put on my plate for me to do in ministry, I did it. Every single thing. No one stood by me. All deserted me, except Jesus. Jesus didn't desert me. Jesus said that he would never leave me nor forsake me, no matter what. What ministry has that Lord, the one that says, I will not desert you, I will not forsake you, what ministry has he given you to do? Do you have a ministry? What is it that you want to do in the church? What is it that you want to do to serve someone in the church? What's on your heart? If you say nothing, I'm not sure you have understood the preaching of God's word. Everyone he saves, he gifts. He gifts them for the work of ministry. And if you have been saved, you have a gift and you have a ministry. And if you want to know and want to have a clue what that is and what that looks like, what is it in the church that you want to do to serve someone else, for the benefit of someone else? Maybe you're not called to preach the word. Maybe you're not called to stand behind a pulpit or a podium and teach a class. But surely, all God's people have a ministry, or the Bible is a lie. What is it that you want to do? Don't you have a desire to do something in the body of Christ to serve the other people? Don't not do it. Don't not do it. You're going to stand before the Lord and you're going to give an account for every idle word and every idle action. If he's gifted you for something, he expects you to use it. This man, he gifted to preach the word. You know what he expected him to do? Preach the word. He expected him to pass that on to faithful men who would preach the word, who would teach other men to preach the word. I'm looking to do the same thing. I got it from him, and I just want to give it to somebody else. I just want to see the word preached, and I want to see people saved. And when people are saved, I want them to serve the Lord with their whole heart and not half-hearted. I've seen too much of that. The Apostle Paul never served with a half a heart. It was all in for the Apostle Paul. Can you come to the end of your life and say the same thing? Or is it about you? Are you saved? If you're not saved, I beg you, throw yourself on the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to Him. He will not cast you out. He will not leave you nor forsake you, no matter what the world throws at you, no matter if it's swords or guillotines or ropes or chains. He'll be with you, and He will safely guard you and take you to be at home with Him in the heavenly palace. Your prize? Him. Do you want Jesus? If you don't, you don't know what you're missing. All you have is this present world. You can love the present world, but it's just going to bring you pain, misery. Everything that you would give yourself for in the present world is going to be burned up. It's not going to last. I'm talking to you about something that lasts forever, forever and ever. To Him be glory forever and ever, forever and ever, forever and ever. That ever is never going to end. Forever and ever, we will sing. We will praise the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ because He saved the rich like me and like you. Brother Rodney, will you close us in prayer?